like to welcome our visitors that we have with us. We have a number of visitors. We're very glad to have you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. If you need a ride back to where you're staying or anything, we don't mind an Uber coming. We don't like seeing Ubers go away after worship. We'd rather take you ourselves. Our lesson this morning is titled, For Our Learning. You know, we experience as we grow, and in a lot of ways, we never stop growing, or hopefully, we never stop growing spiritually, knowledge, and so forth. I wish this belly would quit growing, but I think that's a whole, I've lost that battle. But we're always learning, and there was a key scripture that Micah read this morning that we're going to base our lesson from. Paul would write to the Romans, he says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. There are a number of different avenues we could go with that one verse right there, that the scriptures are so important to us to educate ourselves with, and that even though things were written, you know, in the first century or even Old Testament, they are there for our learning. And even though maybe certain instructions to Moses might have been for Moses, we can learn a lot from the concepts that were written so long ago. And I'd like to focus on some of these aspects today, that the things that were written, we learn an awful lot about God. We can learn the nature of God, that what he is like. We also see the nature of man, that man doesn't change, neither does God. But we see the nature of man. We see God's commands all through the Bible. Examples that people like us have done to encourage, to show forms of obedience, to lift each other up, to, even if it's not to do what somebody did, is a good example. The principles taught. None of us probably will ever be asked to build an ark like Noah was. None of us will ever have to build an ark, but we can learn an awful lot about that for our lives, about obedience, about following God's word exactly. And it's for our learning. And we see lessons about people. I'd like for us to look today about one person that we can learn an awful lot of, and the things written for our learning was Moses. One of the key figures of what we refer to as the Old Testament. Moses was reluctant when God called him to lead the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. They had been in bondage for hundreds of years, and he's calling this one individual to lead them. He was reluctant. Ring a bell with anybody? Ring a bell that we're called to do something, and we start hemming and hawing, shuffling and trying to find an excuse. He was reluctant to serve God. And a lot of our verses here are taken from Exodus chapters 3 and 4. Moses gave an excuse why he wasn't the one to serve God. And first of all, do you know the difference between an excuse and a valid reason? There's a big difference. An excuse is what somebody else gives. When we give it, it's a valid reason. But when God called Moses to lead the people, he comes up with an excuse in Exodus 3:11, personal doubt. He says, but Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Do we ever hear from others or maybe even ourselves coming out of our mouth, who am I to do X, Y, or Z? When the brothers come to us and say, could you help do this task? Oh, who am I? I can't do this. Well, we see Moses popping up again. His second excuse after he gives, you know, who am I? I don't have any credibility. I'm just Moses. And in verse 13, it says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Every time we're seeing that Moses comes up with an excuse, God has a counter for him, that he will be with him. His third excuse was he feared the people. Good old-fashioned peer pressure. You know, we as parents always teach our children not to succumb to peer pressure. It happens to adults too. Happened to Moses. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Moses was more worried about what they're going to say than what he was going to say. You know, here the old, good old-fashioned peer pressure. And it's alive and well today for us. Comes up with a fourth excuse. He was focusing on the man and not the message. We see that quite often. And whenever we see somebody focusing on the person instead of the message, red flags should go up. Just kind of put that in the back of your mind. In verse 10, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I know the feeling, Moses. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses was focusing more on his abilities than what the message was. The message was much more powerful than Moses' ability to do this. Then he comes up with a fifth excuse. Just send somebody else. Anybody else. In verse 13 it says, but he says, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Pick anybody. Anybody you choose would be better than me. And we see after this, it said that the Lord's anger was kindled against Moses. God had a counter argument for every time Moses says, I'm not the one. And we know the end result, that Moses wound up leading the children of Israel. We get a lot of other information about Moses for our learning. God prepared Moses and was with him. He just didn't say, I want you to lead the people. Have at it. Let me know how it goes. He didn't just leave him to this task. He was with him every step of the way. We don't have to feel like we're alone. When we're going out on a limb, trying something, leading songs for the first time, that it's all going to fall apart, God's with us. When we are teaching a Bible class or are called upon to do a function of the service, that God's with us. In Exodus 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." For 40 years, Moses was a shepherd, leading sheep. Think of the things he learned about leadership, having to put those sheep first, making sure they're fed, making sure they're watered, making sure, and they're not his. They're his father-in-law's. When Moses was called to lead the people of Israel, they weren't his. They were God's. The things he learned in that 40 years of putting them first, risking his life for the sake of the sheep, God prepared him. He just didn't say, "Go lead my people, I'll wind you up, have at it." He was with him and he prepared him every step of the way. In Exodus 3:12, he says, "I will certainly be with you." That's reassuring. Moses obeyed God. Another lesson we get from Moses in all his life, the things he was called upon to do, lead the people, build the tabernacle, fight the Egyptians, everything he did, he obeyed God. In Exodus 40, verse 16, it says, "Thus Moses did to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did." That phrase is used numerous times throughout throughout the book of Exodus. That everything that Moses was commanded to do, he did. Everything. And even Moses, another lesson we can learn from Moses, when he did stumble. One, what a great leader of one of the key figures of the Old Testament. Even he stumbled. And when he did stumble, he faced consequences. God didn't look the other way when Moses disobeyed him. Disobeyed him, to my knowledge, one time. One time. And it cost him being able to go to the promised land. Who am I to think that if I don't obey God, God will let me slide? He didn't let Moses slide. In Numbers 20, verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses." Moses, if you remember the account, he was told to speak to the rock for water to come out. He struck the rock instead. One small, slight difference. He did not obey God, though. But what does it matter if we do this or do this? It matters. If God tells us to do something, whether it be worship, whether it be the way we conduct ourselves in our life, he means it. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Moses was held accountable, just like we're going to be held accountable. And the last thing I'd like for us to look at in the little bit of time we have left, it wasn't all about Moses. God provided a successor for his work. As important as Moses was, it wasn't about him. It was about obeying God. In Exodus 24, verse 13, talks about, so Moses arose with his assistant, Joshua. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. And then in Numbers 11, 28, it mentions Joshua as an assistant, but also one of his choice men. It didn't start and stop with Moses. Other godly men are going to carry on what Moses had started. And they saw lessons from Moses. And don't you know, with Joshua, those examples that Moses gave of obedience, accountability, was filed away in Joshua's mind. Numbers 27, starting in or through 15 through 23, it says Moses laid hands on Joshua and inaugurated him before the people. And he would carry on that work that Moses had started. A lot of times it's easy to read not only the New Testament, oh, that's so long ago, but especially the Old Testament, and to just think of them as old stories. They're not old stories. They were written for our learning. Kind of keep that in mind as we do our own study, hopefully every day, as we read the Old and New Testament, that it's not just an old story. They were written for us. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through repentance, if you've been visiting here and would like to identify with working and worshiping here with us at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Sam leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.